This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who knows us. In the Bible, we're told that Moses said that you know each of us by name. And Samuel the priest said that you're the God who looks right into our hearts. And David said, you know us even when we are inside our mother's tummy. And Jesus said, you've counted every hair on our head. So we thank you, God, that we are known by you. You know us better than we know ourselves. And yet with all that you know about us, every thought, desire, or attitude, every action in front of others or in private, you know all this, yet you still love us. So we thank you, God, that you meet us where we are, as we are, but in your great love for us, you don't leave us as you find us. As we worship you today, as we live each day worshiping you, trusting you, listening to you, we thank you that you are changing us into your likeness, into Jesus. With your love for us, with your forgiveness, wash us clean. Remove our sin. Make us more like Jesus. Father God, we ask this as we worship you now, as you are with each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The reading is taken from Nehemiah 13, verses 23 to 30, John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, and John 19, verses 4 to 6. Moreover, in these days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriage like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you too are doing all of these terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women? One of the sons of Joiada, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Salabat the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. Remember them, my God, because they defile the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favour, my God. And now John 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And John 19. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered, look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robes, Pilate said to them, here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Amen.
So as we turn now and consider the book of Nehemiah one last time, let's start by praying together. Father God, we thank you for the book of Nehemiah and for the life of Nehemiah. We find it so refreshing that in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah has written about his life honestly and openly. And we thank you, God, for all that we can learn from him about how we too can be confident with you, our God. So as we turn one last time, God, to the book of Nehemiah, to the last chapter, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bring to light your word in our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps like me, the ending of Nehemiah chapter 13, wasn't what you expected. The book of Nehemiah doesn't finish with a happy ever after. It finishes with a long rant. It finishes with a punch-up, some disgraced priests, and two very short prayers. So what's going on? Why would God let this be in his scriptures as the word of God? What is this saying to us today? I think this is yet another example of our human dilemma. Let me briefly explain to you what I mean by this. In chapter 13, the people of Judah are still struggling. Struggling to be God's people. Struggling to be consistent, to be pure, to be faithful. Struggling to stay devoted to God. They fail to live as God intended them to live and to be who God intended them to be. They need God's forgiveness. All this is very obvious to Nehemiah, who returns from a brief visit to the Persian capital. And he, on his return to Jerusalem, he finds many of the men of Judah married to women from neighboring cities and regions. Now, Nehemiah is not against Judah's men marrying women from the city of Ashdod or the region of Moab or Ammon or any of these other cities or regions. The book of Ruth, for example, tells us a story of Ruth, who is from Moab. She's a Moabite, and how God honored her. But what Nehemiah is referring to are marriages in which the children can't know God because they don't know the Hebrew language, the language of the Judean people. They cannot speak it. They cannot read it. Nehemiah refers in verse 26 to marriages like these. In these marriages, the children cannot understand the reading of the book of Moses or when they hear the stories and the scriptures written in Hebrew. In these marriages, the children cannot understand the priest's prayers spoken in Hebrew when the people gather together to worship. In these marriages, the children will find it difficult to know the Lord God. And what is most shocking to Nehemiah is that these fathers in these marriages, these men of Judah, don't appear to see any need for their children to know the Lord God, which is a dramatic change from their earlier acceptance of and commitment to God and his ways. Nehemiah is angry at their unfaithfulness. He's raging. He's at his wit's end with his people, openly admitting in the final chapter that he beat some of these men, pulling out their hair, as if he's trying to physically wake them from their spiritual coma. The book of Nehemiah finishes with Nehemiah disappointed and frustrated. When we first began to read the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah came across as a possible saviour for the people of Judah. He's got all the makings of a Hebrew hero. He's become a successful civil servant in the Persian Empire, a trusted member of the emperor's household, which is remarkable for a Jew at that time to have such a senior position. Nehemiah has influence. Nehemiah has access to power. He appears to be the answer to Jerusalem's problems, to restore once again the reputation of the people of Judah and the Lord God as great among the nations. Nehemiah appears to be their savior. But Nehemiah is no savior. Nehemiah's actions reveals he's not their savior because he too, like them, is not the finished article. He too makes mistakes, misjudges, fails. His outburst of rage is evidence of how God still has work to do in Nehemiah's life and Nehemiah's character. Nehemiah himself is struggling to live a life of faithfulness. That is why he doesn't just pray for the people of Judah in verse 29, but in verse 31 he prays for himself. And he prays that God will also look favorably on him despite his flaws and failings. Nehemiah knows that just like the men he challenged and raged at, he needs God's forgiveness. He needs saving. Nehemiah knows he needs a savior to rescue him from the human dilemma. Today is Palm Sunday. Traditionally, a day we remember the people flocked to see Jesus enter Jerusalem. And in the Gospels, as Diane read in John chapter 12, they cried out, Hosanna, which means save us. Hosanna, Savior. Yet within a day, we read in the Gospel accounts, including John chapter 19, that the people's cries changed to an entirely different cry. Crucify him. Crucify him. The ending of the book of Nehemiah and Palm Sunday bring into sharp focus the dilemma of being human. One moment we're showing devotion to God and the next we're doing our own thing and completely disregarding God. We are a riddle. We are a paradox of right and wrong. For example, you want to be a good parent. You want to generously and wisely love your children every day, but you have days when you lack patience, you lack self-control, you lose the rag and your good intentions. And it ends in tears and frustration. Or you want to be a good employer, you want to be wise and fair, but there are days when you're tired, when you're overwhelmed by the workload and you make unwise decisions and misjudge people and situations. And you want to be a good employee, but that critical spirit appears again within you and you are grumbling and gossiping rather than supporting and problem solving. We fail in all sorts of ways. Because in our very humanity is a dilemma we cannot solve ourselves. Yet our secular culture gives little time to the idea that something in us needs fixed or put right. Rather, our culture says that we should be true to ourselves and to look inside ourselves to our feelings, dreams, aspirations, and anything that we do that is wrong is caused by something outside of us. That we are maybe a victim to our social system or our set of imperfect circumstances we find ourselves in. The prevalent idea in our culture today is that there is no wrong in me. We live in a culture that denies the very existence of sin. We feel uncomfortable at the mention of it. So we absolve ourselves of responsibility of any wrong in our lives. We don't think anything needs to be put right. We don't need to be forgiven. We don't need a saviour. And yet, even without religion, people still struggle to feel worthy and good enough. We see the evidence of this in social media with Instagram perfect images. Or in celebrity culture, trying to gain a sense of self-worth from public recognition or affirmation. Or in the song lyrics of this generation, lamenting their struggle to feel worthy and good enough. We all live with the dilemma of our humanity and we struggle to fix it ourselves. About 2,000 years ago, a fellow struggler summed it up like this. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Romans chapter 7, verse 19 and 20. This human dilemma that the Apostle Paul describes in his letter to the Romans was evident among the Judean fathers in Jerusalem who couldn't see any problem with their children having little or no knowledge of God. And our human dilemma was evident in the life of Nehemiah, despite his good intentions, ended up pulling out hair and physically harming others. And our human dilemma was evident 480 years later among the crowds in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, who within 24 hours changed their cries from Hosanna to crucify him. And then evident among Jesus' own disciples, starting with Judas's betrayal. Then some disciples running away from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane into the dark of the night. And ending with Peter denying Jesus not once, but three times as he stood in the courtyard outside the very building in which Jesus was being mocked, whipped, beaten, and spat upon for claiming to be our Saviour, the Son of God, sent to save the world. Despite our persistent lack of faith, belief, commitment, or humility, God, knowing our human dilemma, gave us a Saviour. To solve the dilemma we cannot fix ourselves, to offer the forgiveness for sin, to free us from shame and guilt, to live as God intended us to live, to be who God intended us to be. On Palm Sunday in 2021, it is countercultural. It is rebellion to say, Hosanna, save us. To look for salvation beyond ourselves, beyond any human achievement or attempt to achieve. To look beyond any wealth to save us. To look beyond any efforts of family and friends who with best intentions try to save us. Even to recognize that being physically healthy is not enough to save us and solve the problem of our human dilemma within us. Only Jesus can rescue us from our human dilemma. Nehemiah's brief prayer he recorded at the end of the book. Remember me with favour, O God. Is the prayer of someone who knows his dilemma. And also knows what or who can fix it. There are things in his life he's ashamed of, he regrets, he's sorry for, just as there are things in his life that are good and honourable and right. But Nehemiah's prayer was answered. It was answered fully. It was answered more than he could ever imagine by Jesus on the cross. Jesus knew our human dilemma, and with all his love and all his mercy and all his grace, looked upon us with favour. From a cross he was nailed to and punished instead of us, and forgave us so that we'd be freed from this dilemma we live with every day. Blaise Pascal was a 17th century mathematician, philosopher, and converted Christian. And in one of his famous religious reflections that he left behind before his premature death, he wrote these words: "It is wretched to know that one is wretched, but there is greatness in knowing one is wretched." In other words, when we accept our human dilemma that something is wrong within us, or as the Apostle Paul put it, something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. When we accept that we need to be fixed, when we accept we need a Savior, then we are ready for Holy Week. You're ready for Holy Week. You're ready to meet Jesus at the cross and receive all the love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, and healing. And you're ready to be amazed and delighted at the empty tomb and know that God's power is great and it can overcome anything. It can solve any problem, even our human dilemma of sin and death. The beginning of Holy Week, this Palm Sunday, we all have a question to answer. Do I need forgiveness? Do I need a Savior? Do I need Jesus? Only you can answer that. Let's pray. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, today is the day in which you have an opportunity to do so. So if so, pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to solve the problem of the human dilemma within me and my life. I've tried to fix myself, but it hasn't worked. It's failed again and again. So I accept that you sent Jesus to save me, to fix what I could not fix. The sin in me that causes so many problems, causes me to make so many mistakes and fail so many times. Thank you, God, for Jesus, my Savior, and his love for me, your love for me. I accept you today as my Savior, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, speak to somebody you know who is a Christian, who also knows Jesus as their Savior. Or speak to me, get in contact, and I'd love to chat with you about what this means. Let us close together with one final short prayer using the words of Nehemiah as we enter into this Holy Week. Let's pray together. As we enter into this Holy Week, Father God, remember us with favor. We pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, as we have gathered together to worship this morning from our own homes, we give thanks that we're free to do so without fear, in contrast to so many believers around the world who have to worship in quiet corners and in secret. We pray for all those who find it dangerous to share their belief and joy in the risen Lord, and just yearn for the freedom to be able to learn more about you. Father, we live in a world that is broken, and so many people are in despair. We pray for people caught up in war zones in Mozambique, in Yemen, in Syria and Iraq, in South Sudan and Somalia, as well as in many other countries. Our world is full of dark corners, and we know that you weep over them all. We pray for the Christian charities working in these countries and ask that they have the resources to bring comfort and hope, and are allowed continued access to keep doing so. In particular this morning, we pray for peace in Myanmar and a rekindling of democracy out of the ashes of destruction and fear. We pray for the charities working there with young people in schools and in children's villages, and we pray for the safety of the children and their teachers. Lord, we pray for our congregation. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to move powerfully among us and open our hearts and our minds to receive all your Spirit has for us. Build us up as a church family that faithfully follows you and listens for your voice to guide us in all areas of our lives. We give thanks for the many blessings you give us, and we pray that we never take our families, our homes, our friends, and our health for granted. We pray for Catherine and for all those in leadership in our church as they guide and respond creatively and faithfully to the ever-changing circumstances we find ourselves in. As plans are developed for us to gather together for worship in person again next Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we pray that the arrangements make for a safe place and allow for the congregation to attend with confidence. Father, as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, we remember the joy, anticipation, and chaos of Jesus' ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. There was so much expectation and so much hope placed upon his shoulders by the crowd, but only Jesus knew what was really about to happen. Let us journey this Holy Week with Jesus as he travels towards his death on a cross on Good Friday, and then rises again triumphantly in victory on the third day as our Saviour. Father, we pray that we stay close to you this Easter week and always. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.